James Darren. He is the author of Run to Faith. This is a Christian memoir that ties directly into his time as a marathon runner. And so Jim is going to read a little bit for us, and then we'll have some conversation. Jim, take it away.
Okay, thank you, Diane. Yeah, I'm going to read from kind of the wrap-up of the book. So I'm going to, I can talk a little bit with some questions about some of the other things. But the intent of the book really is an inspirational book to have people really be excited about every day of life. Okay. So, and that's what this chapter is about. It's called Chapter 14 is Enjoying the Journey. Okay. So the inspiration really comes from Psalms. It comes from the quote, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Okay. The sunrise view was spectacular as we crested the top of the incline and began our descent down the bridge for the last 2.5 miles of the 5-mile run that spanned the Mackinac Bridge. We glanced to the right and spotted Mackinac Island amidst the crystal clear water. Since opening the bridge in 1957, the state of Michigan has hosted the annual Labor Day Bridge Walk, a 5-mile trek that begins in the upper peninsula town of St. Ignace and ends in the shores of Mackinac City. Prior to 1957, the state of Michigan was geographically divided into two distinct and separate worlds, as the upper and lower peninsula were separated by the 5-mile-long Straits of Mackinac that joined the two Great Lakes, Huron and Michigan. Prior to construction of the bridge, travelers regularly endured several-hour delays to board the auto ferry that transported their vehicles and belongings to the wilderness of Michigan's upper peninsula. Travelers are amazed at the sight of the main arch that rises 200 feet and comes into view from several miles away. The bridge has no facilities for pedestrian traffic, so the Labor Day Walk has become the primary option for travelers who desire to experience the crossing on foot. During the summer of 2008, I browsed the race flyers at the local running store and noticed an advertisement for a run across the bridge. According to the flyer, a lottery would be held to allow 400 participants to run across the bridge prior to the 40,000 that would follow in the walk. Deb, my wife, and I met the qualifications of completing an approved event and decided to give it a shot. We were thrilled when the notice came that we had been accepted, and we quickly made Northern Michigan camping plans for the holiday weekend. The experience included an early morning bus ride over the bridge to the start area, T-shirts, a welcome from the governor, and of course, the run. Despite the message that this run was not competitive, Deb and I quickly made our way near the lead and as a result experienced precious moments of solitude and quiet prior to the impending congestion that characterized later stages of the event. As I reflect back upon my years and adventures, this is one of the many memorable moments that had become possible by my commitment to being a lifelong runner. In the early spring of 2009, Deb and I embarked on another journey, a short trip to Utah to run a half marathon in the shadows of Arches National Park. As a crowd of runners stood on the scenic roadway, we knew that we were just a few moments before it was time to remove our sweatshirts and jackets and head to the starting lines of the Canyonlands Half Marathon in Moab. I hesitated, waiting until the last minute, as the 37-degree temperature left me shivering. The sun rose and we knew that the air would quickly warm in an ideal temperature for our run. The gun sounded and we headed out, running together at an honest but comfortable pace. The reddish cliffs that lined the roadway beamed with reflections of the morning sun on our left. On the right, we could hear the rush of the rapids and see the glistening water of the Colorado River. The flat point-to-point course was closed to traffic and for the duration of the race provided us with a feeling of peacefulness and solitude among 1,000 other runners. When Deb and I approached the 10-mile mark, I realized my decision to wear a t-shirt was the right one as the temperature quickly rose to a comfortable 60 degrees. I quickly gulped water from the aid station and headed toward the finish line, determined to finish strong while remembering to enjoy the rest of the course. This was one of my favorite moments. The scenery of this run, and many like it, has become a wondrous memory. I recall numerous other moments where running made the experience even better. My running experiences included the grandeur of Yosemite Valley, the splendor of the Grand Canyon, the magnificence of Niagara Falls, and the peacefulness of the Great Smoky Mountains. While running, I have smelled the freshness of the ocean along Daytona Beach, Key West, San Francisco, and Malibu Beach. I intimately explored Main Street America by running through towns such as Akron, Ohio, Galena, Illinois, Elkhart, Indiana, McAlester, Oklahoma, Omaha, Nebraska, and Spokane, Washington. In Michigan, I have enjoyed such sights as the Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes in Traverse City, Grand Island in Munising, Tequamanon Falls, the Ludington Lighthouse, and the Octagon Barn in Michigan Stomp. I have had the pleasure to support running events in both large and small towns across our state, including the Peach Festival, Blueberry Festival, Sugar Beet Festival, and numerous other festivals, each being characterized by their hospitality and uniqueness. My running adventures in Michigan have taken me to both hell and paradise. So upon reflection of my running adventures, I quickly realized I didn't need to travel across the country to experience the wonders of nature, but could cherish the environment right out my door. I could feel the same elation as I viewed sunrise over Brenda Lake, a group of deer in the road, the scenery of the deep woods, and the landscape of country roads near my home. Like most runners, Deb and I have outlined and given names to our running routes that we frequent from our home. Each route offers the opportunity to gain new experiences as they are characterized by the differing terrain, distance, and scenery. What this has taught me is that although I treasure the experience of the great places I have been, I can find adventure and wonder right outside my door. Okay. So this is a little another section, and this is more about not running. It's a different family adventure. So, are you kidding me? I'm a pretty good swimmer, and it doesn't look that far. My daughter Rose told the rest of us, hoping this day's journey would end sooner than later. After 8 hours of hiking the rugged trails of Isle Royal and Lake Superior, we were tired and ready to call it a day. We reached the end of the trail that led to the inland bay of Lake Superior, separating us from our cabin on the other side. "This water isn't on the map," we concurred. We rested for a few minutes and weighed our options. On one hand, swimming looked attractive. However, the downsides were that few of us were good swimmers, the water was extremely cold, and we had plenty of gear we would have to leave. Our other option was to turn back on the path, which meant an additional 3 hours to where we had turned onto the shortcut and 2 hours to our camp. It was already 5 o'clock, and we would run the risk of being out in the wilderness after dark, trying to traverse the hilly, rocky, and overgrown terrain. After deliberating, we decided if we jogged in stretches that were passable, we would get back to our cabin in 3 or 4 hours. Tired, hot, and thirsty, we reluctantly began our trek home. So after a good night's sleep, we were re-energized and enjoyed stories and the detail of our ordeal. Beyond the experiences of our day-long hike, we recalled the beauty of the park from the shores of Lake Superior to the inland streams and lakes to the fabulous views from the vista we had climbed to reach the highest point on the island. We boarded the ferry to Copper Harbor, and then we continued our adventures in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. We took in the beauty of the Porcupine Mountains, Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, Presque Isle Park in Marquette, and numerous waterfalls. Our week-long trip provided us with several memorable views and moments as we stopped and took the time to marvel at the wonders of God's creation. Whether we have been running, hiking, biking, or traveling by vehicle, our family appreciated the magnificence of God's creations. From Acadia National Park in Maine to Key West, Florida, to the scenery along the Pacific Coast Highway, God gives us gifts that allow us to enjoy and appreciate his greatness. Standing next to the giant redwoods in California, atop Mount Evans in Colorado, or along the Atlantic Ocean in Savannah, Georgia, I feel small yet in awe of the world in front of me. As we enjoy these journeys and marvel at the wonders of creation, our family has learned how God has empowered man as the most loved and cherished of his creations. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it. And I have dominion over the fish of the seas, and over the birds of the heavens, and over everything that moves on the earth." In our fallen world, man is de- destined to suffer and pay the price for sin. Despite the evil and suffering that are abundant in this life on earth, we have hope for an eternal life through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ our Savior. The Bible tells us in Revelations, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. For my entire life, I have searched for an answer to the question, what do I need to do to gain eternal life? I believed in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, who died to save us from sin, but still felt I needed to understand more. When Jesus Christ sacrificed Himself, He provided us with the key to eternal life as taught to us in John. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Through my understanding of God's message, I have gained the strength of knowing I can overcome all trials and tribulations. I put my faith in God's provision for my salvation, and even though there is nothing I can do on my own, I will do my best to please Him by fulfilling His command and spreading the good news to my brothers. As I continue my worldly journey, I no longer count on myself to gain God's approval. Instead, I continually seek ways to reaffirm my faith and heed His command. In my quest to gain eternal happiness with my Savior, I understand that through faith in Jesus, I'm already there.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Jim. Can you tell us a little bit about the process that you went through when you were writing this book? What was your beginning start point? What made you say, hey, I need to write a book about this?
Okay. So it's a little bit unique that I was thinking about what was triggered the events that started my putting this all together. And really what happened was, it was on Memorial Day about 3 and 4 years ago that I finished a race and had a lot of pain in my knee. And after that race, I did okay, but I couldn't even walk. And my leg continued to collapse on me. And I mean, running was such a big part of my life. It's what I did every day, twice a day, I mean, since I was a teenager. And over the course of the next several months, as I didn't walk, I was a little bit bitter because that's what I wanted to do. But I ended up stopping. I was turning about 60 at that time. My daughter was having a grandchild. I was going through a big transition in life. And I really searched my soul to say what's important and what's going to make me happy. So what I did is I kind of went back, and I sort of, in the end of the book, I encourage people to write their own story. I mean, I think about my life and where I was and how I thought about things when I was young. I was looking at where I was at that time, so what's going on today, and I was also thinking about where I want to be.
Okay,
so that inspiration goes back to being hurt. Even though it devastated me shortly, it made me recollect and rearrange my priorities. And through that, I've come to the conclusions, and I've really gained happiness. And actually, I used to say it was contentment. That's what my book's about. But it's not about contentment. It's about excitement. It's about living life to its fullest and appreciating and thinking back to every moment and the experiences that you had.
Excellent. Well done. Do we have any questions for Jim?
Sir? I think of when I didn't get the book because my nephew-in-law is having a birthday tomorrow, and he's a runner and a Christian, and he has back pain. So I think there are a lot of parallels, if you think so, that he would appreciate in reading your experience and relating it to his own. So
absolutely. I think he'll be able to find a great deal of inspiration and support through this book.
Yeah.
This book is really about helping athletes understand that there is a deeper message that they can get while they're working out, while they're running.
The thing, too, for runners, and I don't really understand it, but there's such a desire to run, a need to run, that even in pain, and I don't know, are you running now still? Are you able to get beyond the need?
I've been fortunate enough to be able to run a little bit now. Okay, but what this injury has done to me is it's opened up such a new world for me.
Yeah.
I was just telling you that about 3 years ago, I could not even swim across a pool in a high school. I had needed flotation device. I was terrified of the water. And what I did is I kind of replaced that with doing something else, and I was determined to learn. And last year I did a 5K in the water, in the lake. So I have replaced that with swimming. But I've also taken a different approach. I was a very competitive runner, and I was never satisfied. I always, when I finished a race, I was good for about 10 minutes. I said, what's next? I got to get faster. I got to beat more people. And now I just treasure every moment I am in the water, or if I'm out on a run, just enjoying that the feeling of being there.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, Celia, did you have a question?
No, I think you rather answered it. I was just wondering, I guess, why people run.
Yes.
Does it calm you in any way? Apparently not, because you're talking about being competitive. So competitive. So it wasn't a calming thing.
You know, running is not for everybody, and there are things in the book that talk about whatever your passion is, to don't just think about the end result, you know, that I've achieved a certain level, but the journey that got you to there. I mean, my most enjoyable moments aren't about the times that I've run. They're about the preparation, the camaraderie of getting together with others. That's, to me, what sits in my mind is the friendships I established more than hitting a certain time or a goal.
But I heard what you said about all the places that you ran, and that had to be just in, because I have been to many of those places, and so I know how beautiful they are and how awe-inspiring they are, and I would think that there would be a certain spirituality that would go along with that, and I thought, well, maybe you were running there for that.
That's a big part of it as well. And with my job, I travel quite a bit too. And my alternative to just going out and eating dinner and going back to work is to find a place to run and explore those towns, and kind of you find little hidden gems that way as well. But I'll tell you, when you first start out, it's not easy. You got to get over that hump of you thinking, that's how it was with swimming too. I never thought I could swim more than a lap or two. But as you relax and get into it, you can do a lot more, and it's a lot easier than you think.
Go ahead, Barry.
Thank you. Running. It's empowerment. You're self-propelled. You can feel yourself breathing. You can feel your feet hitting the pavement, the gravel track, the limestone path. You can control your speed, and there's emotion in that. All through it. Is that what you're finding? What, describe what it is when you run. Because people like to run. Of course, it's for exercise, but there's more to it.
Well, running puts you in touch with your physical body. It really does make you feel like you understand. You can feel your legs. You can feel your knees. And at the same time, you feel that air. You know, there's days I was out there running when it's 20 below zero, and I'm dressed for it, and there's not a soul out there, and it is so peaceful and calming. It's amazing. It also gives you that solitude, and you know, there's endorphins that kick in and give you that good feeling, but it clears your mind. You know, a lot of my best activities at work have been because I went out and ran and solved a problem because my mind was clear and can think objectively about things.
Any other questions for Jim?
I have one.
Arnold.
When you stopped running, you had to stop running, and I got the impression your wife runs with you. Did she quit too?
Actually, Barry, that's the biggest loss I have, is that camaraderie with my family, because my wife runs, and as our kids were growing up, it was our alone time. It was almost like we were going on a date and being able to talk with each other, and that's how it is with friends, but it was even more special with my wife. And they continue to run races. I go there now, and I am the person that gets to enjoy my grandson while they're running. So I really enjoy that a lot.
Okay. Anybody else? No? Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Diane.
You coming.
Yeah, thanks for your company, too. You guys have been awesome. You have inspired me and given me direction and been very supportive.
Well, thank you. That's one of our major missions, is to support new authors. Jim's book is called Run to Faith. It is also available on Amazon.com and Kindle, and also at Grey Wolf Publishing. Thanks again, Jim.
Thank you.